kind of strength and with me here in Avon. I really appreciate being asked to come here, and we trust that what we say will be something for all of our souls, and we'll be able to take something away from reading the Word of God together. We appreciate you all coming on a day like this, and we trust that you will be blessed. I've got three passages I'd like to read publicly, so if you'd like to follow the readings, and my first one is in Isaiah, please. Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53, a well-known passage of scripture, one of the prophecies of the Messiah, written hundreds of years before he came. But we're just going to read one verse. We're just going to read verse 3 together. Isaiah 53, verse 3. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We'll just read that again. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. And he was despised, and we esteemed him not. Over to the New Testament, please, to John's Gospel. To John chapter 12, please. John 12, and we're going to read verses 46 together. These are the words of Jesus Christ. I am come a light unto the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And if any man hears my words and believes not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words, as one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken to you, the same shall judge him in the last day. And just over a couple of pages, please, to John chapter 10. John 10 and verse 27. Again, the words of the Lord Jesus. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And we trust God will bless his precious word together as we've read it publicly. This evening I'd like to do a number of things. I'd like to look at the subject of rejection, and I'd also like to give my testimony at the same time. We started off in Isaiah and we read those words, he was despised and rejected of men. Rejection is something that we can all, as humans, we've all felt it. We've all felt it in different circumstances, in different ways. You know, you're not long on life when you realise that things don't always go your way. When you want to do something and people say no. When you put forward an idea and someone is rejected. You go for a job interview and you don't get it. You know, there's those kind of things. You know, we've got the saying of around these parts of being dinged, haven't we? Where, you know, you're in a conversation with someone and they turn away and they don't listen to what you're saying. And these things can be in our hearts, and they have a moderate feeling of annoyance and making us feel small. But there's bigger things in life, isn't there, that make us feel rejected. Breakdowns in relationships. But I just want to think with you this evening about the rejection of Christ. He was despised and rejected of men. I find it absolutely amazing, you know, that God chose to come into time, knowing all that would befall him. He is the God who knows everything. He has all foreknowledge. He knew exactly what man would thought of him, what man would do to him, and yet he still came. I find that absolutely amazing, you know, because I personally, and I think you'll agree with me, that if we don't do things if we know we're going to be rejected. We don't go want to do things if we know we're going to be turned away and let down. But despite all that, the person of Jesus Christ, God's only Son, came into time to show us that He is love and that He doesn't want to reject us. He wants to accept us. I find that so incredible, you know, because see, when you search your own heart and you think of the thoughts and the things you've done, and that when the all is bare and open to God and He knows everything about us, yet He wants to love us, He wants to own us, He wants to be in a relationship with us, He wants to buy us with His own Son's precious blood. I find that amazing, you know, because I'm a sinner. We're all sinners, but He wants to save us. He was despised and rejected of men. Sorry, I read that wrong. He is despised and rejected of men. You see, it wasn't just the Jews and the Romans and the people around Palestine that rejected Him. It's still today, it's every generation of the masses. We haven't accepted God's Son for who He is. He is despised. So, you know, that's why today, we know, we believe that this message is the most important message. There's no other message on earth like the gospel. But why isn't everyone around cramming in to hear this message? It's because He is despised and He's rejected. You know, we read in the gospels the eyewitness accounts of His life. And there's a credible expression the Lord says that a prophet is not accepted in his own country. We can read that He said, "I came unto my own people, and my own people did not receive me." He said that that they were looking for something more. They were looking for someone that was going to relieve them from the oppression of Rome, someone that was going to deliver them in a macho, majestic way from the oppression around them. And yet they didn't realise that the answer to the problems of the deepest need was right in front of them. It's incredible as you'll read how the Lord Jesus did miracles in front of these people. And it says, they were astonished, yet they did not believe. You know, I find it quite incredible that, you know, the way to know the Lord isn't by asking God for all the evidence to come down before you, because He's done it all that. But it's just by accepting Jesus, who He is. You know, those around Him, they had become so familiar with Him. They thought, well, he's the carpenter's son. How can this be the man that's going to redeem us? He lives in Nazareth. He looks like a Nazarene. He talks like a Nazarene. How is it this man is the one that's going to save us? And that's the thing, that man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. But the person of Christ, He hid that glory of God. And the message that He preached about Himself to save souls was such that you have to believe in Him. You have to trust that what He was doing is with the power of God in order to receive the salvation of the soul and to come into that redeeming knowledge of His Son. He was despised and rejected of men. This is God we're talking about, you know. When we talk about Jesus, this is God manifest in the flesh. God in time. Of all the ways that God could show us how much He loves us, He couldn't do it in any other way than becoming a man. Because He's gone through every circumstance that you and I have gone through, yet without sin. We've spoken about rejection. He knows what it's like to have been ridiculed, to have been spat on, to have been rejected, to have been put to one side. He knows the feelings that we go through as human beings, and He can now sympathise with us. Not only is He a God who knows what we're going through, He has experienced that for Himself. And that is the God that I am willing to trust. And that's the Saviour that I am putting my faith in, because He's gone through every experience that I've gone through, and more, so that I can know the love of God. Do you know the love of God? Do you know the Saviour's love? And has it changed you? There's a story about a man a few generations ago named David Ray, who went to Ireland to preach the gospel. And he arrived to a remote town and he began preaching. And it wasn't long, and people were saying, no, we don't want this. You take that and go elsewhere. And they pushed him out to the train station and were making him take the train home. And every one of them, as he sat down there with his suitcases, walked past and spat in his face the whole time. That man knew what it was like to be rejected. But there was one man who went before him, and it's the God of heaven. And he allowed man to spit in his face. You know, I don't know if you've ever been spat in your face. I've had once by one boy in school, and I tell you, I've never felt so dirty, so disgusting. But this is God. You know, when one word could have wiped out the whole mankind, could have destroyed all those Romans that did those things to him. And yet, we read in this prophecy that he was as a lamb before it led to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears was done, so he opened not his mouth. As we were reading that, he said, I come not to condemn the world, but to save. That he had all right and all authority and all power to destroy the man for their wickedness, and yet he endured it. He endured it. What kind of love is this? We read about his rejection. There's another scripture that says, well, Peter writes about it. The stone which the builders rejected is become the head of the corner. The world has rejected our Saviour. They don't want him. And yet he has been made the cornerstone. He has been made, God has made him the one who is all glorious. He has exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. That under the name of Jesus, every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Yes, he is rejected in this world, but he's exalted in heaven. And one day this whole world will bow and he'll be given his rightful place. But this is the amazing thing about the gospel, is that the person of Jesus Christ, he doesn't enforce himself on us, but he gives us that choice. All of us have that choice to accept him or to reject him. I find that quite incredible, you know, that God is, in his grace and his divine love, has made it such that it's only those who believe in his Son will find everlasting life. It's not for the clever people. It's not for the rich. It's for every single one that will accept his way. The one way of the gospel. We read in John chapter 12 and verse 47, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. I am come a light into the world. One of my favourite passages is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. For God, who caused the light to shine, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I wonder if that light of the gospel has shone into your heart. See, light. You know, what was it that the Hebrew Jews strove after? What was their goal? It was divine light. It was revelation. What was it that the Greeks strove after? Well, it's knowledge, wasn't it? You think of Athens, you think of Mars Hill. What was it the Romans sought after? Well, it was glory, wasn't it? The glory of Rome. But in that verse, you have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And that shines into every one of our hearts who are born again believers. That happened to me 10 years ago in Blingary, in a room in Park Street and down the stairs, where I got on my hands and knees and I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to forgive my sins. I didn't know much, but I just knew that I was a sinner and that I needed God's salvation, and I knew that Jesus Christ was the one who dealt with my sins. See, at the time, I was going through the experience of realising that just life isn't all fun and games. That there is death, that there's more serious things to life, and I was caught up with the fact that I really didn't want to die. Because I knew from being taught in Sunday school and taught these Bible stories that if Jesus Christ, who he says he was, and he was the one who was the saviour of sinners, and I was still a sinner, I remained in my sins, well, God had every right to judge me if I did not repent. And the Sunday school lesson of the day was Peter walking on the water when there's a storm in the boat and all the disciples are there and they think they see a ghost. And it's actually the Lord Jesus Christ walking on the water. And Peter says, "If that be you, Lord, bid me come that I may walk on the water." And Jesus says, "Come." And as he's walking, he steps out. He starts walking, but then he takes the eyes off the Saviour and he begins to sink. And then he cries out those words, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him. That story was going through my head, because I couldn't get over the fact that drowning there, Peter was there. And I thought, what if that was me? What if that was me? And then it was Peter's words, "Lord, save me." Well, in my simplicity and in God's grace, I did that. And I asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save me of my sins. And there, on my knees, at my bedside, I got God's salvation. It's unbelievable, you know, I can't believe it. It's so simple, and yet it is an absolute reality. That God, through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, makes it so that a simple confession of sin, placing simple childlike faith in his Son, guarantees the soul's eternal security. Do you have it? Have you done it? See, you see, it's something so simple, and yet it's so profound, because God has made it such that these things are revealed unto babes, and they're hidden for those who seek from it at an academic level. But because he just wants simple faith, you know that. He just wants you to put your hand in his hand and to say, "I'm going to trust you." And he'll never let go. We read that in John chapter 10. For these were this is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." What the great thing is about us, once we've accepted in simple faith Jesus Christ as Lord, is that God will never reject us. I find that so incredible, you know, because there's so many times in life where I let him down and I put myself first, and yet he always is always there. And once you commit your soul to him, it doesn't matter what sins are done, past, present or future, they're all being fulfilled, and God is satisfied in the death of his Son at Calvary. It's all about him. It's not actually nothing about us. But knowing God is through Jesus Christ. It's a divine work in every single one of our hearts. And we've got to let God do the work. But we've got to be willing to yield our will to his. Because he's not going to force his way in there. We've got to open up our heart to the Saviour. Last week we were looking at the resurrection, weren't we? As around the country as Easter Sunday, as the resurrection was preached. And I was reading an article, and it's a famous Christian apologist, Josh McDowell, and he was asked by a student why it is that he couldn't refute Christianity. And he says, well, it's for one very simple reason. An actual event in history occurred where God was in time, and he went to a cross and died, and that he rose again the third day. The resurrection of Jesus Christ, a verifiable fact. And we're looking at 1 Corinthians 15, where the Apostle Paul points out some of the eyewitness accounts to the real resurrection of Jesus Christ. He says he was seen of Cephas. He was seen of over 500 at one time. He was seen of James, and he was seen of me. You know, said there that it was faith that God requires, and that at an academic level we can't really know God. Well, I almost take that back, because God has shown him so many clear evidences that his son lived here, that his son rose again from the third day, and that he is alive forevermore. What would change Peter? A man absolutely broken, having denied his Lord three times, with oaths and cursing and swearing. What would change that man to preach the gospel and be martyred? It's nothing but seeing a resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. What was it that changed the Apostle Paul? A man who was the top Jew, sat at the feet of Gamaliel for his teaching, had everything in the religious world. What would make him turn away all that? There's only one thing, but it's an encounter with a risen Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you, have you a knowledge of the light, or the knowledge of the glory, or the resurrection of Jesus Christ? I believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ with all my heart, with all my soul, because it's what everything hinges on. It's what everything depends upon. Because as we read in this very chapter, in 1 Corinthians 15, if it's not the case, we're of all men most miserable. Our faith is in vain. Those that have died before us, they're dead. The resurrection is absolutely pivotal. Because, do you know what it shows us? It shows that God is absolutely satisfied in the death of his son, and that he rose him up again for our justification. That a holy, righteous God, one who cannot even look upon sin, can remain just and yet justify me, justify you. That is the power of the cross work and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Have you got it? Have you got God's salvation? That knowledge of the glory of a risen Lord Jesus Christ in your heart. You see, it's the only thing that will change you. Self-help guides, trying to live a better life, all good things, but it won't change you. God wants to change you inside out. Not putting on a new leaf or changing or striving with outward strength, but he comes inside and imparts to you the Holy Spirit in order to live a life for God. You know, one of the proofs and greatest evidences for me personally of a risen Lord Jesus Christ is the strength every day God gives in the day-to-day things. The change of appetite. I'm not talking about food here. I'm talking about what you want, your desires are. An actual real inclination to go and meet other Christians, to actually speak to friends and colleagues and talk to them about Jesus Christ, to actually want to really study the Bible and get to know God more, to actually want to promote the gospel and to spread the love of Jesus Christ. That doesn't come from just wanting to do that. It comes from God working inside you. Because that's what he wants to do, you know. Because see, every single one of us, we are made in the image of God. And that those of us who are saved, see what God says? He says, you are the temple of the living God. I find that so incredible, you know. For God dwells not in temples made with hands, we can read. But he dwells in all of us who confess Jesus Christ as Lord. And that real living, the real purpose of life, is having God dwelling inside every single one of us. It's real, you know. All the Christians here can testify to it, that Christ lives in you. And there's a verse in Scripture that says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. We began talking about rejection. You know, just as I had to come in simple faith on my knees before God, so all of us must do the same thing, bowing in our hearts. You know, we can't come with pride to God and say, give me it. You know, there has to be a recognition of who we are. Who we are beside Almighty God, the great Jehovah, the creator of all things, the one who is Alpha and Omega, the sustainer of all, the one who gives us breath just now. There has to be a recognition of who we are, that actually we deserve to be rejected, and yet he wants to accept us. That's the glorious truth of the gospel. That God is willing And there's provision in the death of Christ for every single one of us to come to Him. He that comes to me, he or she that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never reject us. But we can reject Him. We read, though, solemnly in John 12, that the Lord says, that if anyone hears my words and believes them not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. But he that rejects me and receives not my words, has one that judges him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him one day. We have to accept Jesus Christ as Lord in time. It's so important. It's absolutely pivotal. Because it's in time, this day of grace, that God has given it the opportunity to every single one of us in order to accept His Son. What think you of Christ? That is the ultimate question that God wants to know from every single one of our hearts. What do we think of Him? Who is He? Is He the Lord and Saviour of the world? Or is He just a man of history? What is He to us? What is He really? You see, He has to be Lord in order to be your Saviour. It's described for us in Romans. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness, forsaking of sins and accepting of His blood as the atoning sacrifice for our sins is the only way to heaven. Not by our good deeds, not by us striving to do better. It's all through Him. And that's where I think the pride hits, you know, because all of us think we need to do things. We want to do things. We want. But actually, it's just accepting what God says. It's accepting His way. Listen to the words of Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. An absolutely exclusive statement of truth. He claims to be the only way to heaven. Do you believe it? I'm so glad that I made that choice over a decade ago. Because I find that real Christian life, He imparts that grace and that knowledge and that love that would never come naturally. And He gives that assurance. He gives the assurance that despite of our feelings going up and down all the time through different circumstances, from being rejected out from those around us, our friends, our colleagues, our community maybe, He's never going to reject us. And what we've committed to Him, He'll keep till that last day. Have you committed your soul to the Lord Jesus Christ? There's no one more worthy. There's no one more honourable. Yes, He is the lowly Nazarene, but He is also the exalted Lord. He taught us an incredible lesson that if we want glory, we've got to get both. For he that humbles himself will be exalted, but he that exalts himself will be abased. I wonder if all of us will do that in our hearts and in our minds, and maybe even say the words and admit before God that we actually are not worthy, and then He will impart His grace and glory and one day take us to be with Him in heaven. Trust that these words might have been of use to some. Shall we just come out and pray to God? Our Holy Father, we come before Thee in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank You so much, Father, that there 2,000 years ago, no one else but Thy only begotten Son hung there on a cross, disallowed indeed of men. But He was chosen of God and precious, and there He bore away the sins of the whole world. We think, Father, of all our sins were laid upon Him, every single one. And we thank Thee, Father, that He took them on Himself willingly. Well, Father, we thank You that He went into death, and that He rose again the third day, and that He is exalted now and lifted very high. And that the message in life and transformation, the transforming message of the gospel comes out to all of us who accept Jesus Christ as Lord. And we just pray, Father, that all of us in our gathering will do this, that we will accept him for who he is, that we will not be like those people that were prophesied in Isaiah that rejected, but we will say, I accept him, and that we'll take our stand beside a rejected man. We thank thee, Father, that thou dost ever love us and thou dost ever care. And we just give thee, Father, all the worship and praise this evening for the work of the lovely Son of God. And we just pray, Father, that all of us might be blessed for being here this evening. So we pray these things only through that precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.